What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 6th, and yes, we're going to talk about baseball, some really fun news. We are going to be giving you my pitcher dashboard in the PL Pro Dashboard Alpha next week. So if you have PL Pro, you should be going to pro.pitcherlist.com where you can import all your fantasy teams, get our rankings and telling you who is available on your waiver wire and their highest ranking here at PitcherList. In addition to sorting by process, plus getting our rolling charts, all of our tools, my 14-day sit start, et cetera. So many things. And where you're going to get is my dashboard that I use to research every single pitcher. I only use this. It's incredible. Our developer even made it better than what I've been using. So you're going to get access to it next week. So sign up for 15% off with promo code DASHBOARD. And you get a full year, not just a season, full year. Which means everything that we do moving forward, which is continue to add to the product, does not raise in price. You get more stuff, same price. So go ahead and do it. 15% off promo code DASHBOARD. To get 15% off PL Pro yearly at pitcherlist.com/premium. Okay, Kyle Harrison was my lead today for the SP Roundup, and he was dope. I just want to tell you that. 5 innings of 10 strikeouts and 12 whiffs. 4-seamer was back to normal at 94.6 miles per hour. We love to see it, and it's great. His breaking ball was down constantly. It looks like he has two. He has a sweeper and a curve now, which is kind of interesting. He does have that changeup too that he only went five for seven strikes with. One was a pitch way out of the zone. I don't know how he got that whiff. But yeah, you should just be starting Kyle Harrison. Even though he pitched about 70 pitches, should be closer to 80 next time. He was absurdly efficient with his 72% overall strike rate. Yeah, we really, really like that. All right, so other guys that went yesterday, some really surprising ones like Mitch Bratt, who I joke saying that he just throws it into the zone, goes Bratt every single time like he's painting or like shooting a shotgun or whatever. And this is kind of weird because he's throwing back foot sliders and curveballs, but I don't even want to call it a slider. It's more like a cutter because it's 87 within 90, 91 mile per hour four-seamer, and the movement on this is very minimal from that four-seamer. Right, and he's throwing it down and in. He should really be throwing it up and middle in, right? But anyway, it's not that impressive to me. He had a lot of called strikeouts. He had 9 strikeouts on 8 whiffs, 7 innings of shutout ball, 1 hit, 3 walks. This is not real. I'm just going to tell you right now, 74% strikes on the 4-seamer, 58 on the curve, 33 on the sinker, 40 on the slider. No way. Do not buy into this. Oh, but Nick, it's Rocky Road next. Ugh. I don't want to do it. I really don't. Brian Wu, he was at home against the Tigers. And well, you know, 7 innings, 0 runs, 3. It's 1 walk and 5 strikeouts. Yeah, this is much more of the Brian Wu that I expect. He went more 4-seamer and sinker, which honestly, just go back to the basics here. About 70% usage between the two of them. It makes sense to me. 74% on the 4-seamer dominated 17% swing strike rates. Yeah, it's Brian Wu. Honestly, I think we're all really weirded out by the home road splits. He gets at Yankees and at Houston next. No, I think he's going to be just fine. Sonny Gray, as I was mentioning before, that he looked much more appealing because of the sweeper looking much better. And boy, was it better here. 72% strikes for a 48% CSW, but not even just that. His curveball had a 37% CSW at 63% usage, and we normally don't see it used this much either. I mean, both of those combined were 53% usage when they're usually around, I don't know, like 35%, 40? It was kind of wild. And this was 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, 17 whiffs, which is the most whiffs that Sonny Gray has acquired in any game this season. Thank you so much, White Sox. He goes at Toronto next time, then at Pittsburgh, San Francisco, whatever. He's Sonny right now instead of Gray. You love that. You keep starting him. He's at 2.78 ERA, by the way, for the year, which is amazing. Nick Martinez had a bad start last time. He went to Coors, had a good start. It's the Vargas rule. He got a mulligan because of Vargas rule plus. That's great. He now has a 2.65 ERA, 1.10 whip. It was 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. Yes, low strikeouts, 14% K rate for the year. We all know that shouldn't really last. And it was the first half of the Green Mile. That is Coors and then Sacra Verde. So he has to go into Sacramento next time at Athletics. And then twice against Baltimore. I understand if you want to get out, this could be a Dennis that it returns and doesn't stay for long, like 30 Rock, of course. But I think he's still got to do it right now. It's just that kind of Vargas rule. Cody Bradford appeared. He might be your streaming favorite moving forward because he went 4.1 innings of 0 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks, and 70 pitches. Yes, against the Giants in Arlington, I understand. But this was him returning from Tommy John. We haven't seen him for ages. And this was old Cody Bradford. Let's be honest. It was 89 miles per hour, but it was 7.1 feet of extension from the left side, 16 to 17 inches of vert, which is, again, pretty typical. We're comparing this to 2024, by the way. That's the last time that we've seen him. And look, he is a swatch before it was cool. It's fine. Like, he had a 21% swing strike rate on those 89 mile per hour fastballs. Changes were generally down. Fastball was up. Yeah, it's Cody Bradford, and he's going to get the Angels in Los Angeles next time. I think it's going to be okay. Like, it's 70 pitches here. It should be 75 to 80. That's cool. Drew Anderson's getting a look in the rotation, but it was 42 pitches. You know, and the last time he started, or he pitched, it was 30 and 22. He's getting stretched out. This was the second most... No, actually, he had a more longer starts or games earlier on, but he hasn't thrown above, like, 30 pitches since the 15th of June when he got a start for 59 pitches, but, like, I'm not really into this. I'm sorry. I think that Drew Anderson doesn't do enough. He tries to kill it with this big drop change. It really is a split change, and it was 50% strikes. He has a big curveball at 81 miles per hour as well to go with a 95 average four-seamer. I would not go after this. I don't think he's going to be stretched out by the time you actually want him. Or if you, yeah, you just don't want him. Noah Cameron has been on a tear, an absolute tear. Last three games have been one earned run while he's gone 7 innings, 8 innings, and now 8 innings again, two straight against the Twins, 17 whiffs in two of his last three and 15 in the middle there. Unbelievable. Why? He's throwing harder, yes, but Josh Sperry sent me something that was very interesting, that Noah Cameron decided to call his own pitches finally, and he said really nicely, being like, look, the catcher's doing an amazing job. I'm just really stubborn, and I feel like I should be throwing the things that I just am stubbornly wanting to throw. Now, he goes against the Dodgers next. That's actually a really tough call, because, yes, he's done well, but these are the Tigers and then twice against the Twins, not really the most encouraging, right? Well, I'm going to do it because this is a better version of Cameron. This is the approach that we saw last year when he had success. And the fact of the matter is that he's going 75% secondaries. That's what he should be doing. He's not giving in with his four-seamer either. Only a 25% zone rate. That's how he should be doing it, pitching backward with everything else. It's a really, really good approach. It's harder. It's better commanded. I'm sticking through this in a two-step against the Dodgers and then the Angels, both on the road next week for Noah Cameron. You have Bryce Elder actually doing well again. I mean, the last four games have been 2 earned runs, 1-1-1. That's 5 earned runs in his last four games with 3 wins along the way. You might be tempted to do it, and I don't blame you. This one was 7 innings, 1 earned run, two walks, and 3 Ks with 1 hit, just 4 whiffs. You understand. This is old Bryce Elder being weird again. More cutters. I'm happy for you. No, I cannot endorse this whatsoever. I'm sorry. I know he gets the Mets and the Diamondbacks and the Brewers, but if you want to take a chance, fine, but I can't. Andre Pallante against the Yankees in the Bronx did great. The Yankees are a bad offense right now without Aaron Judge. 5.1 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. They might be better. I might not be giving them enough credit with Ramos and Garcia Jr. now a part of that team. But this was actually a little bit of a careful Icarus. Pallante had 5 shutouts, and then when he showed it for the 6th, had a ground out, a walk, and then another walk, and then one of those runs came around to score. What I'm trying to get at, though, with Pallante is he threw a ton of four-seamers around the zone to left-handers with curveballs and sliders, and trying to get other things there with tons of sliders over the plate to right-handers, good sinkers inside to right-handers, but no, I don't really buy this. I think he got away with a ton. He had 8 outs on 9 balls in play on the four-seamer when I don't really think it was the best spotted one that we've seen. I'm not interested here, but look, it could be decent. Andre Pallante recently has been looking pretty good. His last 5 games have totaled, his last 6 games, 5 of which have returned just 6 earned runs total, and then this 6th game was a 6 earned run blow up against the Brewers. So I understand if you are inclined to go after it, but for me, it's just way too basic. You have Shota Imanaga, who is vastly underrated. Last 10 games, including this one, which was 5 earned runs, 5 innings of 1 earned run, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. Last 10 outings, and this was against the Dodgers, by the way, he has a 2.06 ERA, 1.11 whip, and a 23% K rate with just a 5% walk rate while averaging 8 hits per 9. And yes, his home run per 9 that time is 1.27. Like, he's still allowing some home runs, and absolutely that is a little bit worrisome. But Shota Umanaga is producing. He's gone 4-3 in that time across 56 innings, actually about 57. So it's about 5.2 innings average each outing. And what we are seeing is actually a new slider that's a bridge in between. It's 16% usage in this one. He's barely thrown it in the past. It had a 75% strike rate with a 25% swing strike rate. That's really cool. I gotta say, I think that Umanaga 91.5 in this, right, is much better than we're giving him credit. He gets at Washington, who's a bad offense right now. Woods on the IL. We have trading away Curtis Meade and Luis Garcia Jr. So I think that you should be really comfortable starting Shota Umanaga moving forward. And we have other guys to talk about. Dean Kramer made his debut for the Twins. We had some bad debuts, like Casey Mize included in that one. Eric Lauer came down to earth. And we have a lot more to talk about. And we'll talk about all that and more after this break. Dean Kramer, 5 innings, a 1 earned run, and 2 strikeouts, 5 whiffs for the Twins against the Royals. I'm glad it worked, but I'm not encouraged by this whatsoever. He's going to get a revenge game against the Orioles next time. It is not the best version of Dean Kramer. It's not Dean Wolf in the good sense, so I would avoid that. Andrew Painter had a hamstring strain. They got pulled. He said he should be fine moving forward. That might be part of the reason why he didn't do well. It's 4 innings of 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks, but actually that looks decent on paper, right? Well, here's the thing. Andrew Painter did not do the things that got me excited. I mean, first of all, he was down in velocity attack, fine. But what got me excited last time is he went really hard into secondaries, like 70% secondaries, only 30% fastballs. And that's exactly what it should be. He should be pitching backward. However, what did he do? He went 38% four-seamer. And why? Why are we doing this? Why are we going back to what was not working before? Well, Nick, it's because he went 50%. Strikes on the changeup, 57 on the sweeper, and 0 on the curve, and 3-for-4 on the slider. And it's just, I don't care. Throw the other stuff. You should be throwing those. The hyper emphasis on four-seamers to left-handers is driving me nuts. It was 44% usage. I don't get it. Don't do that. Do the thing that just made you look good, okay? Weird for Andrew Painter. Trevor Rogers, back to normal. A 94.5 on the fastball. Did not get traded. He should still be really great with the Orioles. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. And I really just have to highlight just for a second how good Trevor Rogers has been for a while now. It's not just like a couple games or so. If you get rid of the one from last week, it is a 1.92 ERA, 0.97 WHIP, 23% K rate, 6% walk rate, and a sub 7 hit per 9 across his last 10 games with a 5-1. Record. Even if I include the blowout from last time, which was 4 runs and 6, it's a 2.28 ERA and a 1 WHIP in those 11 starts, and where he's averaging 6 innings per game. He's pitching great. You should have no fear against the Twins and the Rays for 2 actually coming up. So love that for Rogers. Rhett Lauder is a streaming option. He did go against the Athletics and hosted them in Cincinnati yesterday. 6 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. He's going at Chicago White Sox next time, and then we'll be hosting the Cardinals after. What makes him tick is actually really simple. It is a slider that returned a 55% strike rate, but 18% overall swing strike rate against lefties. And we have just a good combination of sliders and changeups and random fastballs involved as well. The biggest question, of course, is that slider going to be that good against lefties? That's why I led with that. 41% overall usage. It's just, he gets it done a little bit. You know, like, I know that he's not exciting. He is a good 15-team play, okay? He is going to have that longer leash, 95 pitches here, especially with Hunter Green out on the IL. Rhett Lauder's spot in the rotation is not in question. You have Jake Irvin also being a little interesting. He's throwing a cutter now that is almost 2 ticks harder than it used to be, so it's at 90 miles per hour. Also, we saw the curveball show up for 82% strikes and 24% swing strikes. There's also the sweeper that kind of blends with the curveball. It might be a slider along the plane of cutter. Sweeper curve is very much in line. Regardless, 5.1 innings of 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Not really the most impressive, but it's because the put-away rate was so low at 23% overall. He got to 2 strikes a ton, 65% 2 strikes. I imagine he'll get more of those strikeouts in the future if he's pitching like this. Now, he is going to get the Cubs, and he's going to go at the Mets and at the Marlins. I'm not going to tell you that you should start Jake Irvin at the Cubs, or rather hosting the Cubs, but take note of Jake Irvin. It might be a good deep league play moving forward. You have Jacob Lopez, who I gotta say, pick him up. I really cannot say that enough. I really think you should be picking up Jacob Lopez. He is replicating what he did last year with his command, with his approach of cutters coming back over the plate to righties, four-seamer staying up and away off the plate, and he's playing that game of will it come back over or will it be out of the zone? And then he has a slider that he's really gotten a good feel for that is kind of like a slurve. It's a curve at 76, you could say, whatever you want to call it. Sweeper, 77% strike rate, right? 37% CSW. He threw it 35% of the time. And that's not just the lefties at 50%. It's 34% to righties as well. And I want to say 50% to lefties, but he threw four pitches to lefties, so whatever. What I'm trying to get at is that what he's done the last four games now is a 2.29 ERA, 1.17 whip with a 33% K rate. Not the longest outings, 4.1, 5, 5.1, and 5, but he's up to 90 pitches. I mean, it was 84 pitches, 91, 97, 87. So it's not the most efficient. But my gosh, 6 strikeouts, 4 strikeouts, 8 strikeouts, 9 strikeouts. He is effectively executing this approach, and it worked last year for that beautiful summer. Jacob Lopez is someone you really should be considering hosting the Rays, hosting the Rangers, and then going into Houston. I know it's Sacro Verde. I know you're scared. This one was in Cincinnati, and he was fine. So I think you should be going after Jacob Lopez. He's in that groove. Who has been in that groove and didn't have it last night with Sean Burke. Really startling, honestly. 4.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. It really just didn't go his way. He didn't have the pitches to go in the bottom half of the zone. Curveball was very sporadic. I mean, we're talking 11 thrown for just 18 strikes. So that's 2 strikes on 11 thrown, which is just absolutely shocking. I would consider this with Sean Burke. Be a goldfish. be a goldfish, forget about this one, and you're going to keep starting Sean Burke. Don't worry about it. Hunter Brown, 6 innings, 300 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. It's really nice to see those strikeouts return for him. However, it was not the incredible outing I was hoping to see when I went to this game. Why? Because the four-seamer regressed a bit. A 50% strike rate. He missed a lot arm side. The good news is that the curveball showed up. 62% strikes, 23% swing strike rate on that. That's really, really nice to see. He did get only one strikeout on that while the sinker really did a ton of work. I'm a little surprised that it was as low as it was to right-handers, but that sinker is there. The vert on the four-seamer is back to what it was last year, if not slightly better, at 17.6 instead of 17.3. Velocity is there, 97, 96, 97. All is all right. It's a curveball also at 84 now, with really good drop, 15 inches of drop, and 6 inches of lateral. I mean, at 84, that is a filthy offering if he can throw it for strikes enough. Got 62% here, 46% CSW. So Hunter Brown, much more interested, especially if he gets that four-seamer working more and keeps that curve. That's a big deal. Tanner Bibee had himself an amazing game. 10 strikeouts, 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 4 hits and 0 walks. Had an unearned run as well that really, elongated a fourth inning a little bit. And he had a bit of a careful licorice as well. He could not get that final out. Struck out Lindor, ground out to Bichette, which, by the way, Bichette had some strikeouts. I was like, oh my gosh, you're not looking good. But then Carson Bench hit a home run to unfortunately end his night on a changeup that was kind of down in middle to the left-hander. And it was one of the rare changeups that really burned him because that changeup was insanely good. 81% strikes, 50% CSW, 44% swinging strikes. So good against lefties. One of the most consistent I've seen Tanner Bibee locate his changeups ever. I mean, really, this is a guy who's usually scattershot of his changeup, and it was just always in the bottom half of the zone or lower. Really, really cool to see that. I'm more encouraged with the new approach of Tanner Bibee with a lower arm angle, with more emphasis on just dropping everything and a little bit more horizontal. It does mean that the four-seamer is worse when it comes to vert. He does throw it upstairs, and he allowed a solo shot on one of those four-seamers upstairs that didn't get enough out of the zone. Still, he did get some strikeouts on that. He did get some whiffs on it. I think that this is a better version of Tanner Bibee. I'm more encouraged once again by this than I have been really in a while. And if you want to look at the last 5 games for Tanner Bibee, it is now a 3.13 ERA, a 1.11 whip with a 20% strikeout rate, but he is getting more whiffs consistently. It is 10 whiffs on the 25th and 17 here. That is a cool thing. I only had 3 whiffs on that July 11th start. Kind of weird, but it's good to see the whiffs and this new approach and just better command for Tanner Bibee. I'm encouraged. You have Will Warren going more in the changeup for the second straight start, a little bit more against lefties, 27% usage. We like to see that, but it's still weird. Sub 50% strikes on the sinker is kind of what? What's going on? It's all very blech to me. It was 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. I will continue to say that I believe that Will Warren is the one who's going to go to the pen when Carlos Rodon does return. It just seems like he's more situated for it than, say, Ryan Weathers. And it was a 5th inning that did pretty much all the damage. He got singled out a bit in that one. But look, you can hold on to Will Warren against Seattle at home is fine. At Baltimore next Tuesday is the week after that is fine. He'll have a 2-step after next week, so it'll be the August 18th to 23rd. At the same time, it could be Rodon around then. I don't know. We'll see what we get from Will Warren. You should not feel like you have to hold on to Will Warren moving forward. You have Christian Scott, 29% strikeout rate, 5 innings, 7 Ks. You have 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks as well. It wasn't the line I wanted against Atlanta. I am more impressed because this was a lefty approach it was against Cleveland. I was really worried about the lefty approach to the Guardians. He's going to get Atlanta next. And this was better. It was a lot of the Cannibal McSanchez of high four-seamers and cutters, and that looks good to me. I like seeing the consistency of those two pitches to left-handers. He didn't have enough pitches down. The curveball didn't get down enough. The sweeper didn't get down enough. He didn't have enough of the splitter down. And I think ultimately that is the last shift I would want. He barely faced right-handers, and he went four-seamer sweeper effectively there, and that's cool. I'm generally enthused. He got whiffs on the four-seamer, the sweeper, the cutter, and the curveball. He had 72% overall strikes, which is great. So I like this. I feel like we're getting to that place that we want to be with Christian Scott. And I really do have to mention, across his last 8 games, only one has been under 6 strikeouts. It's been a lot of 6s and 7s with one game of 5. And that is consistent. So once he nails down lowering these walks, which is, again, 2 walks and it's a 10% walk rate for the year, that's kind of weird. I remember that 5 walk game. I was even at that one, and he had a 4 walk game in there too, sure. But it's been a lot of like 1s and 2s and a rare 3. Christian Scott, okay. This approach works for you. I hope you can figure out the last little elements there to make it through 6 cleanly. And yeah, Christian Scott, you just keep your eye on it. You don't have to hold on to it. You don't need to go after the one against Atlanta, but it's encouraging. All right, Paul Skeens, wild, right? This is supposed to be your ace. And what did Paul Skeens do? 5 innings, 300 runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, 6 Ks. You are so frustrated. 4 walks, by the way. He has a sub 7% walk rate for the year. That is weird. Again, 16 whiffs, though. Right? And what is Paul Skeens doing that is changing things? Well, this one was a far worse strike rate on his four-seamer. I mean, for the entire season, we have about a 70% clip, and this was a 48% clip. That is not right. I personally think that the splinker should return. That is the splitter. He only threw it 2 times in this one. I think that is the real difference maker that that Skeens has kind of neglected. The good news is that this is the first time that Paul Skeens has hit 97. Actually, I would say the second time since May 28th, he hit 97.1 on July 7th, and that is exactly what he hit here as well. That is encouraging. It's not a decline anymore. It is hopefully a return, but at the same time, he didn't throw strikes on those four-seamers. I'm still not giving up on Paul Skeens. I think that you still are showcasing that you do not have an injury, and he is harder to hit than it has appeared. So just throw more of the splinker. I really think that's all you need to do. You have Tomoyuki Sugano, hopefully getting his 12th win. Nope. 5 innings, 300 runs, though. It's like so amazing in an NL-only league, Sugano giving you 11-5 record with a 4.51 ERA and a 1.26 whip. I'm just saying, I love it. Jameson Taillon showed up for Toronto in Houston. 4 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks, but he got 16 whiffs. And it's kind of interesting. He is throwing a gyro slider now with that curveball. It was mislabeled by Savant as a curve initially. And I think that's a pretty cool pitch for him. It is another option for him to throw against right-handers. I'm curious how this plays out. I'm not telling you to go after Jameson Taillon. Don't get me wrong. I'm just going to be watching this and seeing if he is more comfortable in Toronto, if he is able to maybe figure out, hey, the 61% strike rate that I threw here with a 44% on the cutter, which sure, he didn't have his cutter, and that's kind of what messed him up the most. But maybe actually not going as heavy in the zone, or honestly, I believe he was tipping as well before, which because he was just allowing all these hits on pitches that you really shouldn't have been allowing hits, especially with the guys in scoring position. I think it should be better days ahead for Jameson Taillon. You have Reed Detmers having a terrible start. What I've said a lot is if the slider is there, I'm there, and this was not there. 56% strike rate, just a 12% swing strike rate, as he rarely got it where he really wanted to. But he also had a tick down on everything as well, 92.9 as opposed to 94.1, which sounds worse because you see the 92 and the 94, but it's really 94 to 93. And the slider now, instead of being about 86, it's just under 85. It just was not it. I am a little worried, but it's one game. We're going to hopefully brush it off, and he gets Texas next, and you're clearly going to start him there. I don't know why Eury Pérez is throwing as many sinkers as he is. I still don't. 30 sinkers to 21 four-seamers, and it's not like it's just against lefties or righties. He threw 43% sinkers versus 14% four-seamers to lefties. Why? He should be flipping that. I don't get it. He also got really unlucky in this one. I mean, nearly all of his hits, and we're talking a total of 7 hits here. It was 5 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts, 18 whiffs still. A lot of them were on sinkers. And some of them, yeah, 3 of them were on inside or out of the zone sinkers, 2 inside, 1 under to right-handers, which is weird. But then, you know, a lot more hits to lefties, too. And I don't get it. Don't do it. Like, just, you have an elite four-seamer. That pitch had a 29% swing strike rate across 71% strikes. I don't understand. I mean, you're saving that four-seamer just for 2 strikes, so that's going to amplify it. And yet, what's going on here? The results, by the way, on that sinker, 2 outs on 8 balls in play. Koufax, that is just very cruel. And that might be it, right? Like, he's gaining 2 strikes and putting them away with a four-seamer and then using the sinker to get through the game. Maybe this is the Sandy Alcantara effect. Maybe that's it. Maybe that actually is something that's good, and it was just Koufax's stream on being unlucky, but you got to throw more four-seamers to lefties at the very least, right? Carson Wisenhunt cannot get his command in check. It's really with a four-seamer. The changeup is still going to miss bats and get strikes, and that's cool, but until his four-seamer is good, we can't do this, because he was throwing low four-seamers. No, thank you. By the way, also, the slider was not getting down away as it should either, so we're waiting on that one. Eric Lauer had a bad game finally. And honestly, he should have had a bad game a long time ago, but he didn't. He was at Wrigley. Did not go well for him. 2 home runs. A lot of hits here. So many bad pitches over the plate. 11 hits in 4 innings, 6 earned runs, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. Sorry, 1 strikeout. Pete Armstrong hit both of those home runs, and everybody else had 9 hits against them, right? I do not want to... I don't really want to start Lauer, but at the same time, it is the Royals next, and like, you might get your cheap win there. And last but not least is Casey Mize. I had a lot of questions about this start because 2 starts ago, or so really 2 weeks ago, he went and had a lower velocity across the board. It terrified me, 89 or so at times. And when the previous start, the minimum velocity was like 93. And then he got scratched before the trade deadline. They said, oh no, it's because of the trade deadline. It's not because he's injured or anything like that. Well, I was really curious to see what the velocity would be. And it was back up to 93.4. However, the minimums were still way down, 91, and this was to start a game. Sorry, an inning at times. And then he would bring it back up, 95.5 in the third inning. We had 95 in the fourth, 94.4 in the second, 95.6 in the first. Those are the max velocities. So it's good to see that because he didn't even hit 90, like barely hit 93, I think, is the max as the last time we saw him. So I'm going to treat this as 2 things. One, he hadn't pitched as a start. He got skipped ones, essentially. And also, you have the debut for a new team. So you have the Brewers, and then you have at Cleveland, and then the Twins for Casey Mize. The schedule's too good. I think we give it another shot and, you know, give him some slack for getting singled out in a horrible fourth inning where a lot of six of the 8 runs scored in this 3.1 inning, 8 runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, and just 1 strike. And how am I supposed to buy my breath with this? start happened. It was also only two whiffs, and I really should note that the stabilizing slider that has really been the golden pitch for him, 45% strikes in this one, only 58% strikes in the four-seamer. He was separating well. Like, you can see the intent of the four-seamer up and the splitter and the slider down with sinkers inside to right-handers. Like, you see that. It just wasn't there fully. So it goes. I think we brush this off and we just hope that everything is all right. He's not hurt. Then maybe that causes command, but the velocity is all right. I'm just going to say all these other narratives are the reason for it, and you should be okay against the Brewers. All right, that is it. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.